In Focus on News Radio KMAN. Coming up this hour, we're going to be talking with Pawnee Mental Health in a little bit. Robin Cole will join us for her monthly update on the program. We're going to start first, though, with the K-State Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy. And we have Director Dr. Timothy Schaefer in the studio with us here this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be with you.
I'm hoping I'm not jinxing the Chiefs here by bringing someone in from Ohio.
You know, I saw an ad last night about the game, and one of my kids said, "Who are you rooting for, the Chiefs or the Bengals?" And I just kind of stayed quiet a moment, and since I'm on the radio here, I will also stay quiet here as well. But I will say, having gone to school in Western New York, and my wife is from south of Buffalo, that the other night was super exciting, but was also heartbreaking in a lot of ways. Some neighbors and I, we had jokes about. I told them I wasn't going to kick anybody's cans over, things like that. But yeah, it was great. It's super exciting. It's nice to be in a place with a team that's actually pretty good. So
yeah, kudos to the Bengals. They've had a great season this year.
They have, you know, and it's one of those funny things. There were all these memes and such that went around of basically the last time they had gotten, you know, as far as they just did was, you know, before text messages existed and everything else. And, you know, there were colleagues who were sharing images from like 1988 of like, this is the last time we've been in a place like this. And so it's been, I don't know, it's great. I always root for the underdog. It's heartbreaking sometimes, or a lot of times, but it's pretty nice. So I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. It'll be a fun game this Sunday, and you can hear it right here on News Radio KMAN. A little plug there for the Chiefs.
There you are,
Bengals. We're here to talk about some other things, though. You've got some exciting stuff happening this week with the Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy. I know those community conversations about the future usage at the East Campus of Manhattan High School have been taking place, started on Tuesday.
Yeah, so Tuesday night we had our first conversation. It was in person in the cafeteria, and we would, we'd encourage people, if this is interesting to you, check out our website, the K-State, k-state.edu/ICDD. There you can find out information about the project overall, about how to RSVP. It'd be great to see more people, especially now that you've done some wonderful coverage of this. The Mercury has also done a couple nice stories just recently, even yesterday, in fact, on this. And so yeah, we had a good number of people. We'd love to see some more online. It's going to be Saturday morning, so that'll be a little bit easier, hopefully, for some people who have work obligations or evening things going on with family and such. So Saturday, 10 to noon, you can RSVP on that link that I just mentioned, the Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy page. But yeah, the Tuesday discussion was really great. We're looking at, you know, the possible reuse of the cafeteria, the kitchen, a couple adjacent classrooms that are currently art spaces that the school district is saying, you know, as we're transitioning away from this building, what might be possible in some of these spaces? So this is not the whole building, so I want to be very clear about that. There are lots of other possibilities, or as the district says, they may probably also need things there too, so they don't want to just kind of give it away for other things, but recognizing that, you know, it's a prominent building, it's got great space, some good infrastructure and things like that, and what better way to have some of this kind of community need be identified, recognized, and then seeing some of this space that we already have maybe be repurposed, reused for some of that, and go from there. So that these conversations are to begin that discussion. We're having a second round of discussions in February that will be a little bit more specific. So I think the language some people were using on Tuesday night was kind of brainstorming and dreaming big, like what's really out there? What are some of the needs? And some of the things that people talked about, actually, even myself and some other colleagues who were organizing this were like, oh, we hadn't thought about that, right? Which is why having these conversations are so important. We want to be able to say what else ought to be kind of on our radar that we can even consider. And so if you don't show up, whoever's listening to this right now, we may miss out on something really important. So I would encourage the listeners to say if this is of importance to them, not just for Manhattan, but for the broader community too, which was another theme that came up as we're talking about, I mean, a number of people are interested in Common Table, for example, being located there as a single site, maybe as a hub for other kind of social services and the like. And so it all of a sudden, it becomes this conversation of, what are we doing here? How are we helping people? Who are we working with? And how do we not limit this? Because now all of a sudden, if we have a certain type of infrastructure here or a location, it simplifies some of this. So if there are people beyond the boundaries of, say, Manhattan city limits, then this might this appropriately be talked about as Riley County or whatever else it might be. So really good discussions. Saturday will be basically kind of a mirror, a replica here of what we did on Tuesday. And then the discussions in February, we're going to synthesize the input, the feedback here, and we're going to use the February as a more kind of deep dive into that to say, what would this actually look like? So we'll do a final report out to the school board, presumably in March, about what we heard, right? Which is, we're just soliciting feedback and information and perspectives. We're not telling them what to do. We're just saying, this is what the broader community thinks about this. And if the school board chooses to take it and utilize it in whatever fashion, that's kind of the point of what this is. So we're not directing it in that regard of saying, you know, a finger on a scale here, this is what you ought to do. But, you know, some things are rising to the top, and understandably, and there's some really other good answers and some ideas that are kind of emerging as well that we hadn't really thought about, which is you know, one of the beautiful things about this. And I should say, we didn't have any kind of raucous crowd or things like that. Everybody was pretty good. But you know, we recognize that, you know, people have some really different views on some of this, and that's understandable. So don't be discouraged if you feel like you might be an outlier or have a perspective that's different. That's part of why these things are so important.
And anybody can attend these, whether you're an adult or maybe you're a current high school student.
Yeah, well, actually, yeah, it's really funny. And we kind of hoped for, and it didn't quite materialize, that possibly some more kids would show up. So we were actually prepped for even some little kids. So we had some coloring sheets and all this other stuff for them to kind of stay a little bit busy while this was going on. But no, it's absolutely true. So if you are, you know, if you're a parent with a child in the district, if you're an alum or whatever it might be, or you're just somebody in the community, like, this is multi-generational. There are no kind of parameters. We didn't ask you to kind of put yourself in a category in that way. The RSVP is one super practical. We just want to have the right number of people to facilitate. These are facilitated discussions. So we had small groups, but we had facilitators and recorders to document what's going on. So I think some of the images in the Mercury, they captured it. You could see it, these flip charts that we use all the time for stuff like this. Like, that's what was going on. And so, you know, trying to capture all of this, all these perspectives, but there was actually a recorder or a reporter, in fact, from the Mentor, the Manhattan High School newspaper. So I'm looking forward to that story. But I think he even said it. He kind of wished some of his classmates would have shown up, because he said, he's like, you know, I think this is, you know, this is a real thing, because this is the building that either some of us are in or a lot of us have passed through. And as we think about, you know, what does the future of this look like, is really important. And maybe the very last thing to say here, and I made some of these remarks at the introduction of the event on Tuesday, is that Manhattan has had a school at that corner for more than 150 years. So the dates, there's a little bit of discrepancy between 1857 and 58, but that was when a school building has been at that site in this community. It's gone through different iterations, which is partly why it's a little bit interesting. If you've ever been in that building, there's hallways that get connected to other places, and so they've done quite a job of connecting and building and adding and all of that. But at the heart of Manhattan, in this place, has been a school. And so as we think about what does that look like here in a short while, not immediate, because the building is taking the time that it is, what does it mean to have a school building which will stay within USD 383? They have plans. They're not giving it up, so to be very clear about that. But kind of what else? And I think as we've also broadened how we think about the role of education writ large, not just kind of formal K-12 education or pre-K-12 education, but to say, what does education in a society, in a democratic society, look like? Then it becomes, I think, a really interesting kind of, not just a venue, but a really significant symbol to say, how do we think about this idea of continuously learning and living life together? And the fact that this has been a place where this has been going on for a very long time, to me, is really wonderful.
And this is right up your guys' alley. You've probably enjoyed doing this.
Oh, yeah. It was great. You know, it's it made for a very long day. On Tuesday, in fact, I was on a I was giving a presentation in other times, not during COVID and such, in actually in Northern Ireland. So I was on a committee or on a panel with somebody from the United Kingdom and somebody also from the European Commission, the Vice President for Democracy, actually, than me. So I got up, I watched my office in the dark at 5:30 in the morning for a webinar that started in their time, wonderfully in the middle of the day, but, you know, for time zone reasons, it was 6 a.m. So I started Tuesday morning fresh, given a thing at 6 a.m., prepping in the morning for a few hours with Donna Shank Hamlin, who I want to give shout out to, who's a wonderful colleague at the Institute and has long been involved with this work. And then some other things. And by that night, when I finally got home, I think my wife sent me a note at about 9:30 p.m. to ask me if a crowd of people had picked me up, and you know, or what was going on. Was I going to make it home at some point? It was a long day, but it was wonderful. It was rich, and I think, in many ways, as we've talked about it in the past, it's one thing to talk about people showing up and being able to engage around, you know, real issues and in some civil way. And I said this, I was like, you know, this is, for me, a good reminder, and maybe for all of us, that we can have common problems and challenges, things that we need to address and think about, but we don't have to fall into some of these kind of camps that we're so accustomed to doing right now. So yeah, in that sense, it was pretty fun. And we had a great group of people, some colleagues who are both on and off campus who helped facilitate and do the recording here. So, you know, it is well done. And I will say, you know, professionally, and Saturday will be the same. So if you choose to participate, you can expect the discussions to be, you know, facilitated in such a way that it will all be very clear to you. It's not just passively listening. We're really asking people to be pretty involved, and your voice really does matter. So I think that's probably the biggest takeaway, is that this isn't just like a listening session and some people are telling you, well, this is going to happen. This is really what ought to happen. What are our needs? Who could be served that maybe isn't, right? Because for so long, we've only thought about that space as a school for youth to be educated. And what does it mean now when we say, what else?
All right. Very good. Well, we'll take a break and we'll come back and talk some more here with Dr. Schaefer. We're going to get into a discussion about redistricting a little bit here in the second segment. Stay tuned. InFocus continues after this.